Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Right over this verse, Christ will build his church. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'll read these verses in case I don't get to them. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And you can write over these verses, Christ is building his church. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us. Sorry, I missed my spot. I was taking my watch off. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth, I wasn't going to read all this, but I can't stop. And under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. And I write over these verses, Christ built his church. Folks, I hope we appreciate tonight the great program that's going on in this world. And if you are a Christian, you are part of something that is universal, global, and huge, and eternal. And I would wish that every believer would leave this conference this afternoon and this evening, whenever you leave, with your mind up in the clouds, not dreaming goals that you can't reach, but your mind way up there in the lofty heavens, as you realize we're connected to the Christ that is going to build his church and is building his church, and one day we'll be able to say he built his church. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing. It will expand your mind a little bit to appreciate brothers and sisters that maybe at this point you think, well, because they don't gather with us here in the gospel hall, they're a bit of an inferior believer. Brothers and sisters, at times we're the most arrogant, conceited people on earth. I'm just shooting from the hip, okay? I'm sure glad that it's the Lord that's building his church and not us. When I see the Lord building his church here in Matthew chapter 16, I notice that there's going to be no stopping it. He's the designer of it. Now, Peter tried to stop it. You know, the Lord had made it clear, upon this rock I'm going to build my church. And Peter comes along shortly after, says, Lord, hey, be it far from you. There's no way you're going to get to that cross. And Peter had failed to grasp the most fundamental point of Christianity, that there's a master divine designer that is designing and building His church. You know, there's something, and I just got to go quickly. I learn here there's no specific way that God is using, that the designer is using to build His church. And what I'm saying is not flying in the face of what my brethren have said before me this afternoon. We need the public preaching of the gospel. And that without the public preaching of the gospel, our assemblies can be in danger. But I am going to add to this that if our sole means of proclaiming the gospel and evangelization is the public preaching from the pulpit, our assemblies are in trouble as well. You know, there's a lot of ways that God is using to proclaim the gospel. And this is where you all come in here. There's only a few that on a lifelong basis are preaching the gospel publicly from pulpits. There's a greater number that are preaching it on the Sunday nights in your assembly. Thank God for that and keep at it. But the small or the great majority of the folks here in this gathering will never be standing on a pulpit to preach the gospel. I want you to understand that God is going to use you to build His church. And it's good to get started right now. You can give out a gospel tract. Murray's got an excellent one. The airplane story. I hope you got lots of them here, Murray. It's hard to beat. It's a great one. Got the two roads chart inside it. Oh, man, that just suits me great. Get some tracts and give them out. God uses the one and one. So you're the only one saved in your family. You live before your family. You give them the gospel with your life. Your friends at school, your friends at work. It's the one-on-one. And of course, there is the public preaching of the gospel. There is the internet. We are living in 2017, and John and I might be dinosaurs. And especially when it comes to me trying to do something on the internet, folks, I try to do it, but man, am I helpless and hopeless. Please help me, somebody. The internet. Get weekly things going on your assembly website, on a Facebook page. Get out there. That's where the people are. And that's what the Lord is using to build His church. He said, I will build my church. I quickly go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He is building His church. And I tell you, it's a shock and it's a surprise to us. We throw up our arms and say, oh Lord, I'm getting off the train. I didn't sign up to Christianity to have all this list of people involved with me. And I'm not even going to take the time to repeat the awful list of sins that characterized the people there in Corinth before they were saved. But what a deplorable bunch of people they were. And along comes Paul now, and he writes, and such were some of you. But you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified. And so I come to an understanding here that when the Lord is building His church, nobody's going to stop it. That's Matthew 16. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, there's no respecter of persons. They're going to come from the west and from the east. They're going to come from the north and from the south. It's not going to matter what nation of the earth you might put a flag on and circle on your map. He's going to build His church from every nation of earth. And He's going to build His church, and He is building His church with every color of skin. And He's building His church with every social background in life. Yes, even religious people are getting saved. Not just the ones that are drunkards and addicts and filled with tattoos. I think they're getting saved. I think they're going into the church at a faster rate than the religious ones. But yeah, the religious ones are getting saved too. That's a wonderful thing. With the Lord, no respecter of persons. No age limit, no age category. And you know, it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I asked myself, what should my reaction be? Very simply, I need to pray and help and build up my brothers and sisters that the Lord is building into His church. Because according to their background here, there's going to be a lot of baggage. They're going to need a lot of help. Like we were hearing yesterday, there's going to need to be a lot of government, a lot of piloting in their life to bring them along in the Christian doctrine. I'd left the farm at the end of 96, started in 97, went to Lethbridge. It would have been in early July. I was coming from a visit in Tabor, half an hour to the east of Lethbridge, making my way back into Lethbridge. Beautiful summer July evening. Being the farmer that I was, I did a stupid thing. I was almost like Peter, I go fishing. I'm driving back and the sun is setting over the mountains off in the distance, and I'm seeing the corn all tasseled out, and I could smell the barley in the air, and I see the irrigation going, and I thought, I just want to go down and have a look at that. What's down this road? And as I was driving down the road, it's just like Satan was beside me saying, all these things will I give thee if you go back to Portage. I pulled the truck off to the side of the road. Yes, I'm a guy. I'm a guy, okay? And I wasn't playing hockey. But I still cried. I did. It was a tough moment. I thought I'd been 6 months here in Lethbridge, and what has happened? How many have got saved? Not many. There's no assembly started. So yes, Satan, you must be right. I should be back there in Portage, where the nice straight rows of beans and potatoes will be growing nicely right now, and the corn will be tasseled out there even better than here. And God taught me a lesson about His church. He told me that my responsibility as a gospel worker, when I'm talking to somebody who's not saved, it's just simply to bring them to the cross. That's all. But when I'm talking to believers, it's my responsibility to bring them to Christ. That's all. And He did say, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. That was a great comfort to me. I've been able to experience a greater measure of success in my life just because I bring them to Christ. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to sign any deals. I don't have to see any churches started. I just need to bring people to Christ. So it's been a joy visiting with believers that will never be in a gospel hall. Some of my best friends there in Pincher Creek Colony, I tell you, it's a highlight for me. He's the main minister, the main preacher in the colony. We're best friends. What a joy. To spend 3 or 4 hours in one evening in his house, talking to his daughters about eternal security, talking to them about the Lord. Somebody said, Ross, when are you going to start talking to them about leaving the colony and getting into the hall? I said, never. That will be the Lord's job. I think Brother Jack would agree. We bring them to Christ. So when Christ is building His church, everyone He's building into the church, we need to pray for and build up, because they're brothers for whom Christ died. Revelation chapter 5. Christ built His church. Yeah, it's all done. Nobody else to be added to it. The body complete. The structure all finished. As that song of praise and eternal praise exalts the name of Christ, I want to tell you the most amazing thing of Revelation chapter 5 and the fact that Christ built his church. The most amazing thing is that a guy by the name of Ross Vanstone was ever built into the church.